inevitable.
You mean you have to use your hands?
That's like a baby's toy.
I'm totally Batman.
Oh, man.
Shh.
Communing with the Earth Spirits.
Welcome to California, bud.
Kawabunga.
The world of magic.
And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. I tried so hard. I can't rise above it. Don't know what it is about that little gal, does it? But I like it. I love it. I want some more of it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 79 of the Secondary Heroes podcast. This week, we talk about single season TV shows that we would love to see come back. This is your host, Trevor, and joining me as usual is...
Hey, guys, it's Prague.
This is Josh.
I'm liking it, I'm loving it, and I want some more of it. It is the DeLorean Wolfgang.
Very nice.
Awesome.
Yeah, I had no idea there were other lyrics to that song. I just always sang the main chorus. No idea. That was fantastic. Thank you for... Did you know that off the top of your head?
I did. Well, I didn't look up the lyrics. No, I got into country not too long ago, and I tell you what, country music's pretty fun.
Okay.
That's
right. I mean, the song is fun, so sure, if it's all like that, I will agree. Maybe I have to take it up.
I dig it. I like country music. I don't care what anybody says. Everybody's like, it's the same thing. I lost my dog. My girlfriend left me. Boo, I'm going to go shoot my guns.
Shoot my gun.
It's a little bit deeper than that, like friends. That.
Only a little bit deeper than
that. But a great majority is of that.
Oh, easy, Josh. Well, you're in Texas.
I mean, Josh would know.
You get a different type of country. No,
there's a song there.
I really like Southern rock. Southern rock is really good. If you want to listen to a really good Southern rock band, listen to Blackberry Smoke. Fantastic. If you enjoy Southern rock, that is, which is country just with a rocky twang.
Okay. I'm more partial to bluegrass. So.
Bluegrass. Oh,
or just plain grass.
That's the soggy part, boys.
Just actual grass. I like going out there and devouring it. Good for my digestive health.
Wow, this whole beginning has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
It has everything to do. Think of all the shows they canceled because they have terrible sequences like this.
Yes, they're like, what are they doing?
That's the first and last time Alex will be singing that song, so.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, could we get in trouble for that? Nah.
I don't think so.
I had my own twang to it.
We couldn't tell what you were singing anyways.
My song went dun 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 dun. Not dun 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 dun. Come on, everybody knows the Vanilla Ice.
We knew.
Yeah. It's like a joke you have to explain.
I like explaining jokes. It's kind of a dad thing, you know. Now that I'm a dad,
You should explain all your jokes to your 1 month old baby.
Trust me, I already do. When we're watching sports together, oh, I love that picture of me and my kid watching sports together. Anyways, thank you. Yeah. It is cute. By the way, speaking of sports, congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning for winning the Stanley Cup with an asterisk because it's 2020.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you're putting that on there for yourself.
How many games did they play in the regular season? Like in basketball, they played 80 instead of 82. There's no asterisk for basketball.
No, there won't be any asterisks. There will definitely be an asterisk in baseball because
just dumb.
Dude, extra innings and they throw a guy on second base?
That's fun. Ugh. That's how you end baseball, because you're like, I want to go home.
I just want to go home. It's the 13th inning.
Dude, I wish they would have done that when I worked for the San Diego Padres, because we did 22 or 24 innings one time. Like, we had 2 7th inning stretches. Or ooh. 2 or 3. Yeah, it was really bad. Yeah.
See, that's kind of the opposite of what we're talking about. Like, games that go on forever, like shows that go on forever,
it's
the opposite of that single season. It's the ones that don't know how to end.
It's this isn't true. Like Law and Order or something.
SVU,
whatever acronym they're on now.
Make
up a new one. Like, but that doesn't exist in real life. Who cares? They're in space now. Everything's in space.
There's been a murder in space.
It's Law and Order, Space Force. Ooh, I like that, actually.
I
love it.
That'd be kind of fun.
All right, guys, so what are we talking about? Who wants to start? What a start to an episode, huh? I hope the fans are enjoying it.
You got to relate to the fans and the audience. So they're like, yeah, these guys, I feel like I could do a podcast if these guys can do a podcast.
If these guys can talk about a whole lot of nothing. We're here to
encourage people, inspire them. Make it look easy with how bad they are at it.
We're practically the Seinfeld of podcast. We talk about nothing.
Pros right here.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Anyways, so where are we starting, boys?
Who wants to start? Because really, the question is, why do some shows are so good, but you never hear from them again? Like, we're not talking about terrible shows that get canceled.
Right.
That's, you know, we're talking about shows that were amazing, and then for whatever reason, some stupid executives or lack of fan appeal, it hits at the wrong time. It just doesn't land.
Right. And I think it's something to note, too, that we're not talking about, like, anthologies either. These are single seasons that were one and done, not part of a, you know, different narrative. I also think it's probably important for us not to mention, say, something that had a spinoff or a movie that finished it, too. You know, like Firefly would be a good example. It was only one season, but they did direct a feature length film, which wrapped up the whole storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that would count. I know a lot of people want, you know, more seasons of that show, but they finished the story, technically, in my opinion, in the movie. So that's not what we're going to talk about. We're talking about the potential of shows that we thought were really good and could have had the potential to be a great series, and were cut short, unfortunately.
So. Yeah.
Well, I guess I could start because
sure.
I've got the number one show. I was luckily enough to grab the number one show here. Freaks and Geeks. Sorry.
I think we've talked about it.
Brock was clearing his throat when I said it.
Half Freaks of our episodes at this point.
But Freaks and Geeks, man, I hated the fact that they canceled this show. I actually learned about Freaks and Geeks way afterwards when it was on Netflix. But when I learned that it was only one series or one season, it broke my heart because it was absolutely phenomenal. And I looked up why they canceled it. It was because of ratings. But now the show is such a huge cult classic that people are watching it today and sitting there going, we would have loved to. And here's the thing about this show, too, is it's not like they can do it. They can't go back and say, hey, you know what? We still have all these actors. Let's do it. They're all super old now. There's no point in going back and doing this show.
Well, they could do it with new actors.
Reboot.
I mean, they've done it with other stuff. So,
I mean, is the show good or are the actors good?
I think the actors helped. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, yeah, you have Mike White on script. You have Judd Apatow behind the lens, and you have some of the best up and coming actors of their generation. I mean, you can't. That's like, it was like capturing lightning in a bottle, and I don't think people understood that at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It was so different to see television like that at the time that it came out. People were like, oh, it's going to be some hokey, like, you know, 80s, you know, nostalgia trip. And that wasn't what it was. I mean, it had that nostalgia feel, kind of the same way Stranger Things did in that first season. Mm-hmm. Kind of had a feeling of the 80s instead of like trying to be like an homage or a send up. Really kind of just felt like that's what it was, and people, I think, were expecting it to be something else, and I think that's why they tuned out.
Do you think people might have thought it was kind of copying that 70s show in a way with the feel?
Sure, that's what it was.
So that's probably why they're clashing, because they were going out at the same time.
But I felt like 70s show was so much of a, it was a sitcom.
Well, it was a sitcom.
You had a laugh track, you had all this. This actually had, like, it felt serious at times. Like, you felt like you're caring for these characters because they're going through more of a traumatic situation or, you know, they go through funny stuff, but it's not like forced funny.
Well, I think Josh is just saying like the advertisements of it, because you wouldn't know that's included just by like you read the title and you see an ad for it on TV.
Oh, they definitely advertised it like it were a sitcom. Like, they had all the funny bits. I remember when it first came out, and I'm like, wow, this is not what the show was at all. So I didn't watch it at first either until I think the second or third episodes when I finally tuned into it. I'm like, oh my god, this show is amazing.
Well, and too and we late, were just mentioning, but... I'm sorry Prague, I didn't mean
no,
to interrupt.
Was it too little too late?
I we mentioned that this was a star-studded cast, and I just want to run down just a few of the names that were in this. But we had James Franco, we had Seth Rogen, Jason Segel, Martin Starr, Linda Carta. I don't know how to say her last name, but I mean that all those characters all went off and did amazing things after. And like you said, Judd Apatow, who was behind the lens on this, was, I mean, he really put it all together and made this phenomenal.
Right. And that was his start. You know, that was his start in Hollywood. It's kind of insane.
Oh,
but was it a trend though for Judd Apatow, since his next one was Undeclared, that only lasted one season as well?
And I was going to talk about Undeclared as well, because that show is also super beautiful. It was perfect. I loved that one as well.
Yeah, and it had starred Seth Rogen as well in that show.
I believe it starred just about half the cast of Freaks and Geeks.
Quite a few of them were in that one, yeah.
It was like a second try at reviving it somehow with that cast.
Yeah, because they were older. But they were playing different parts as well.
Right, he was trying to create like kind of a spiritual sequel to the show.
Yeah.
Is what it was.
And it worked. It was another, for me, it was another home run.
Definitely fantastic. But once again, maybe it was just ahead of its time. Maybe people weren't expecting that. I think we're going to see that as a theme in a lot of the shows that we're going to bring up during this podcast, is that maybe some of them were just ahead of their time or weren't on the right platform or weren't marketed well.
Right platform's interesting too, because we haven't really talked about the shows, but a lot of these shows, if they were on Netflix, everyone would be like, oh, this is the most amazing thing ever. And they would have like all these seasons, and they come up with stupid storylines, and then you'd get to season two and three ruined. And it would be terrible and get ripped apart. It'd be the whole fun Netflix storyline.
Yeah. And there'd be memes out of memes.
So maybe it's a good thing that it was only one.
Netflix needs to know how to make a season two. I think that's the biggest challenge for them.
Season two is pretty difficult for most shows on Netflix, unfortunately. Yes.
Well,
I agree.
Yeah.
I know, Trevor, that you say that like Stranger Things was kind of lackluster for you.
Ozark, Daredevil.
I'm the everyman. I'm the normie of the group. I'm sitting here thinking, I really enjoyed both of those. I only didn't like one episode of Stranger Things season 2.
I can't even remember what happened in season 2.
Oh.
When they introduced a Demodog.
Oh, yeah.
They
did,
yeah.
That was idiotic. They
and
killed
then they
Bob.
Were doing the...
That was what they did.
Poor Bob.
Oh, Bob. Yeah.
You can't introduce characters
scene.
To kill him and make me care. I'm sorry.
I care.
If you would have killed one of the original kids, like Mike, I wouldn't have cared. Ooh. But maybe if you would have killed Dustin, I would have cared.
That made me like that guy. Who played Bob?
Sean Astin.
After that, I ended up following him on Twitter and all this stuff, because I was like, oh man, he's just such a good guy.
Right, so Stranger Things continues. How about you guys? Do you have any other single season shows?
So I'm going to bring up one, because I know this is also one that Ed, who is in the chat right now, a fan of the show, also liked, and it was a show called Nowhere Man. So back in like the mid 90s, there was like a lot of really great concept shows that came out that sometimes weren't always executed very well, but I thought Nowhere Man was executed pretty well. It kind of hopped on the X-Files bandwagon of like government paranoia, about a man who wakes up one day and his whole life has been erased, and he does not know why. His wife doesn't remember him and she's with another man. His mother doesn't remember him. His best friend ends up dead. And all he has is this photograph that I guess that he took in South America of like four men who are hung. He's like, doesn't know who they are or why they were hung. And it's this big mystery that he has to solve, like a conspiracy group after him. And it was really well done. It kind of had that gritty feel that X-Files had back then. It only lasted one season. I think it's because it was very complicated. It wasn't like a straightforward, script. I think this, once again, would have done a lot better on a like Netflix platform where people can binge it all at once and then theorize about it rather than spreading it out for a season of 25 episodes. It's just crazy. But very well done. I mean, it doesn't necessarily hold up as well, just because it's that kind of mid-90s. I don't know. Kind of soapy, I guess, in a way. The way things were filmed back then. Mm. But yeah, something to that I wanted to mention, because it is something that's all, whenever people talk about shows that needed more to it, I think that was the one for a lot of people back then. They're like, oh my god, what is the mystery? What is really happening? Kind of explain it, but you kind of want to know more about why he was chosen. And not to spoil it, because it is on YouTube if you want to check it out.
Well, interestingly, when you talk about spoil, though, I gave up on broadcast shows after some of the shows we're talking about. After a certain point, when they cancel them after season one, that's when I just gave up on broadcast shows. You now have to wait for multiple seasons to come in before I even start to get invested.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
So I hopped onto IMDb to look up Nowhere Man, and it's got a great rating. It's 8.4 out of 10. Yeah, I'm really surprised they didn't try to either revive the show or just keep, you know, either keep it going. But
it's funny how quality is irrelevant into what sticks around.
It's true. Yeah. Freaks and Geeks, same thing. Quality show doesn't matter. Ratings are what matter, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to jump back to Freaks and Geeks, but it was one of those shows where I would listen to the entire intro.
Oh, sure, of course.
Oh, it's great. So good. Anyways, we were talking Nowhere Man.
So it's like the Beatles song?
So that was the problem. When I went to Google it, all I could find was the Beatles song. I had to go kind of Nowhere Man, parentheses, show.
I think Ed and I are the only two people alive that actually know that show existed, which is probably why it didn't last just too long.
That's fair.
Yeah. As I said, that was a time period, though, where, because there's another one that I'm going to mention later that I didn't even realize was around the same time. It was the year before it came out. And I started looking at more. I'm like, wow, there was a lot of shows in the mid-90s that were only one season. Yeah. There were very high concept, weird shows that just, I don't think people were ready for that yet. Fortunately. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What about you, Josh?
So mine's a Netflix show. It came out in 2018 called Everything Sucks. So this is a show about these teenage kids that are part of an AV group and a drama club. What the story is about this one kid trying to fit into a new town, and he runs in and he meets these AV nerds and becomes friends with them. And through that, they meet other kids similar to them. And it's just a story of, you know, teenagers making their way through high school, experiencing teenage things. And just the way, you know, just the whole evolution of how kids go through their feelings toward either the opposite sex or in some cases the same sex. So it's surprising to see that through the ratings, they had good ratings, but for whatever reason, some shows decide to just call it quits, or Netflix just didn't want to continue on with it. But to me, I thought it was a great show.
Absolutely remember this show, and it was like a slap in the face when they announced that they were canceling that show, because the first season was so good.
Yeah. And it could be too, maybe they didn't want to make it compete with like a Stranger Things crowd, because that's kind of what you might be grabbing at, because it's teenagers high school. AV club. So
in the 90s.
Yeah. So it could be that, but you know, it's just, you know, even at that, you would assume that it would fit in this time too, where kids are going through those things, and it's more relevant, I guess, relevant now that it's kind of wide open to where they kind of open up to kind of share those feelings about each other. So, but to me, I felt like it should have gone further than what it was, and I think Alex could agree as well, and a lot of other people. But it, you know, it's just one of those things. It just quit.
Well, there was so much opportunity with that show, because they came into it as, I believe they were freshmen. I mean, they at least had 4 years. They could have done 4 seasons easily, just going through high school and learning about themselves a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
because you could have took on personal journeys with each one of them. I know the main character, they took on the personal journey of him, since he never really had his dad around. He was finding these tapes that his dad had left for him around. My God. But I don't want to give it all away, but I'll let y'all watch it. But
I wouldn't mind going back and rewatching that, because it really was a good show.
Yeah, because they get personal with each character.
My question was going to be, does it leave you on a cliffhanger?
Yes, in a way.
Okay.
I don't remember. It kind of isn't,
but it's not really. It leaves you wanting to know more, like wanting to know more about each character.
So I think that's important. What we're talking about, like a show that like did it have a definitive arc and finish, so you felt satisfied, or did it leave you with like a feeling of
incomplete?
Hey, you're incomplete. You need to know more about this, because I think that's crucial too to what we're talking about.
Well, and that's the thing. When you're following around someone who's a freshman in high school, there's a lot of character development that can happen to a person within a high school period. So, mm-hmm. I mean, anything can happen. And, oh, wow. Yeah, it could have done well. But you know what? Does anybody talk about, I think we're the only ones who have talked about this show in the last 2 years, and this is the most anybody's talked about this show in the last 2 years.
It's funny just because Netflix has a really interesting relationship, because until recently, they didn't have their own studios. Essentially, they're paying ABC or CBS studios to proceed with things, and so a lot of things can get lost in the shuffle, especially as Netflix is like, now we're producing stuff ourselves. We don't have to rely on these other companies' studios anymore. And 2018 seems like a transition year for Netflix. So it might have not, the show had not, like,
yeah,
it's not Stranger Things popular, so therefore it's not popular.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I completely agree with that. It's just a matter of the time of when it came out, if it fits the lineup that Netflix wants to go with or the direction. But yeah.
Yep. So,
well, now I gotta watch it. Sorry.
Yeah, definitely watch it, though.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's real good.
The show I was going to talk about, it was on our tweet to talk about our episode, and it's called Wonderfalls. And this show, it was on Fox back in like 2004, I think, 2003, 2005, somewhere in there. And the saddest thing about this show is that you get into it, because it's like a comedy drama where this lady just graduated from Brown University. And so she has a psychology degree, and her parents want her to do awesome things. She has two older siblings who are doing awesome things. And she ends up working at a gift shop in Niagara Falls. And so everyone's disappointed by her. She hates herself. She's living in like a trailer or whatever. And then one day she starts hearing voices from inanimate objects. And those inanimate objects are giving her like kind of riddly clues to help people. It's not like, oh, I need you to go help this person. So she kind of has to figure it out, what they're saying, and then go actually help the person. So that's every single episode. And Fox got rid of it after 6 episodes. Like, the first season is 10 episodes. I had to literally, they canceled it, and they're like, we're not bringing it back. If you like it, screw you. And so I had to go on to Netflix when they still had discs, just so I could watch the whole damn season. And that was, I mean, it leaves you wanting more, just because it's so damn good, because it was kind of came before, like, now a lot of shows are really dialogue heavy and really like quick cut things where it doesn't pause for you to laugh. That's like the thing that shows do. But back in 2005, that's way too much for audiences. You know, I need a laugh track to tell me when to laugh. I need you to pause and wrap everything up really sweetly and nicely. And it also talks about mental disorders, which also isn't a topic that's rarely or discussed in the early 2000s. So
it's
sad.
When that show first aired, I mean, I was hooked by the first commercial for it. I'm like, oh my god, because like I grew up with a show called Northern Exposure, and if you have not watched this show, it is quirky, it is really far out there, weird, funny, different, and I went, this kind of looks like that. And it kind of was, in a way, like a modern take on that. And just the actors involved were fantastic. It's Brian Fuller, if you're not familiar with him as a showrunner, he's fantastic. And it's quirky. I mean, it's like, I still, every time I get into a car and my seatbelt jams, I think of the scene with her sister, where she's angry and she can't get the seatbelt to go. And it's just the funniest thing ever. But I think you're right about that idea that there's no laugh track and it moves so fast that if you're not used to that, it's kind of jarring, I guess. And it's definitely a far out concept. You know, you have inanimate objects talking to her all the time, and she thinks she's going crazy, you know, and she has this psychology degree. And she's like, what's going on with me? I love the line. I think it was something like, do you think crazy people know that they're crazy? Like, fantastic. Like, who knows? Are you
That's
crazy
like when the mom is like, oh, are you having one of your sodes? Like, just totally dismissive of anything that you're going through your entire life. And just like, you know, I'll just ignore you for a while.
Do you think that it might have a little bit of a reason, or that it was shot in Canada. Do you think that that might be a little bit of a reason? I feel like Canadian shows don't really latch on too often.
Not really a Canadian show. I think it's just because it was Brian Fuller's first attempt. And see, after that, he picks up Lee Pace to do Pushing Daisies. And then after that, he does Hannibal. And so he starts to get kind of where he's going. But Wonder Falls is more experimental for him, and no one really trusted him to do anything yet. And Fox gives up on stuff probably quicker than anybody.
Yeah, it does. They drop stuff. Hot Rock, man.
It's like, come on, give him a full season at least.
Well, that Wonder Falls, IMDb gave it 8.2 out of 10. So that's, I mean, another really good score for a show that they canceled.
And it would have been nice to know why she was doing the things she was doing, like to see more backstory behind that.
Man, I'm going to look this show up. Is this on Netflix right now?
I don't think it's on
anything. Oh, okay.
I have no idea. Yeah, I usually have to like watch clips on YouTube if I want to.
Yeah, this show isn't available to stream. Thanks. I love looking up those websites and they're like, tell you Hulu, Netflix. No, nowhere.
No. Sorry, you're out of luck. Pirate okay. stuff, man.
So I'm going for a bit of a reach on this one. This is an Australian show that I believe I watched it on Hulu, and it might still be on Hulu or Netflix, actually. It's called Summer Heights High. It's an Australian comedian. His name is Chris Lilly, and he plays multiple characters. So he plays the most popular girl in school. He plays a super flamboyant drama teacher. He plays an Aboriginal, very quiet hip hop boy. And I think he plays one other character, but it's kind of like, I want to say... It's kind of, oh God, what is it? Like The Office in a way.
Okay.
It's kind of like The Office. Professor. So this show actually came out, I believe, in 2004 or 2007. And yeah, it's actually pretty funny, but it took me like an episode to kind of really grasp the fact that he was all these characters. Because, I mean, you're looking at a 35-year-old man playing the most popular girl in school with this ugly wig, and he's talking to a bunch of high school kids, students. So it's kind of weird. It's super bizarre, but it works. It's funny. It's fun. So it's an Australian show, Summer Heights High. I knew that it was going to be kind of a reach to bring this one up, so I figured I'd just blurt it out really quick.
No, I like it.
I do too.
I feel like it's kind of quirky, like so quirky that, yeah, it's going to be hard for the average person to think, I'm not going to watch some guy dressed up like this for a full season. You know,
but
I can definitely see
people. Oh my God.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying I can see the average person being like,
yeah, it sounds like something Steve Coogan would do.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Someone who's got a little bit of a weird taste to them. It's pretty good. But even IMDb, 8.4 out of 10. So, another solid show canceled in one season.
You know, one funny sequence for me always is in September 2005, CBS, ABC, and NBC were like, we're going to launch sci-fi shows. And interestingly, after that, they pretty much gave up on sci-fi shows. They're like, we're done. Because so CBS had Threshold, NBC had Surface, and ABC had Invasion. Mm-hmm. Invasion was the best of the three, but Threshold was probably the most out there, like, nebulous idea of almost kind of like, it was almost like a Borg cube coming to how it would interact with people. That was so super peculiar. Invasion was just simply like Invasion of the Body Snatchers idea where a hurricane comes in, these lights invade people. But Surface was the stupidest one by far and away. It was like this little, it was almost like the Stranger Things where he tries to raise the demidog and it starts little and then it grows up. This is like some deep sea, like in the Marianas Trench, like 6 miles deep came up or whatever. But regardless, all three of them canceled within 6 to 7 episodes. They just did not give them a chance, and it's the last time that any of the broadcast networks were... So Fox still did sci-fi, but the ABC, NBC, CBS were like, nah, we are done.
Well, Fox was always known for their.
Because Fringe
tried
comes
weird.
Out like a couple of years after this, and Fringe is just essentially a more out there X-Files.
People like to try those X-Files shows.
I love,
man.
Fringe, dude. Fringe at least made it through its whole run.
Yeah, I know. Fringe finally made it. It's like, oh, you made it past the season. Good job. Thank God.
But I just so wanted to see what happens in Threshold, just because it was so different. And just that one had like Brent Spiner in it and Peter Dinklage and I don't remember her name, but she's in all kinds of stuff. She's like a side character and everything. She's like a secondary character actress.
Secondary.
There you go. Yeah, so man. Threshold, 2005 sci-fi, one season, 7.3 out of 10. Still, that's not that bad.
For sci-fi, yeah. It's not that bad, actually. Usually sci-fi.
But Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 44%, so.
Woo!
Yikes. Right.
Yeah.
But it looks interesting. I mean, I'm looking at the trailer and it looked, oh, yeah,
it's,
Peter
it's
Dinklage,
Carla
dude.
Gugino,
awesome.
Or however you pronounce her name. That's her.
Yeah. She's Dr. Molly Ann Caffrey.
Yep. Dr. Oh, Caffrey. Yeah.
Dr. Caffrey. On Days of Our Lives.
But there's not a whole lot. I mean, nobody else is really in it. But yeah, I like that Carla lady. She was an Entourage. She
shows up in a lot of stuff as not the main person.
Chef's kiss. She is fantastic.
I'm gonna have to look this one up. All right.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to look that one up as well.
Hey,
Josh, you got another show for us?
You know, you know, getting prepared for this one, you know, just kind of going back. Yeah, there's not too many one season shows I saw, but I was thinking about one that would probably be more relevant today. There was one back in 2014 called Selfie with Karen Gillan and John Cho.
Yeah.
So this is based on a girl that is self-absorbed with social media. To
yes,
where she has to post all the time, has to take a selfie wherever she's at, finding that, realizing, oh, should I friend this person? Because I'm not really their friend. This makes sense for me to do that. So it kind of falls into the line of what kind of happens today with social media, with I guess, a lot of different people. To me, it felt like that show, I guess, was before its time. If it was to go on today, it'd probably flourish. Because I thought it had a good cast with Karen Gillan and John Cho. So, I mean, to me, it ended that season wanting, same thing with the other one, you wanted more. Like, okay, what's going to happen next? Because, of course, they threw in the love interest with her and her boss that they want to get together. They don't want to. Just this back and forth feud going on. So, to me, it was a pretty good show. I mean, I wasn't like one of what I was dying to watch, but in the sense of TV for today, I think it would fit perfectly.
It's funny because I remember that show launched and there was all these articles like, what kind of arrogant person releases a show called Selfie? Like, you know, in 2014, it was a term for like really little kids and people disavowed the idea of it. And that was a turnoff for a lot of people right out of the gate, especially when it has to be on broadcast network and you need 10 to 15 million people to tune in.
That's true. And the thing, too, is that it had, like I said, the star power. I mean, it had Karen Gillan. It just showed up on Guardians of the Galaxy. And she just came off of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So it's like they had everything to go with it. But just like Trevor's saying, it's at that time, people didn't really take it seriously that social media would be that huge for people.
It was like a kid thing.
I mean, if you look at it, now you have Black Mirror that did that episode with Bryce Dallas Howard, the same kind of concept, only darker, obviously. Yeah. And that was fantastic. It was
I feel like we bring that episode up just about
it's
every
the
episode.
Best episode of
so
life.
It's so good.
It
it's too Come accurate.
It is. It's so good. So I think that's why we do. All right, well, I'll bring up another one then. So this is another one that was mid-90s. It was a show that I was really hyped for because, once again, I was into these kind of weirder, different shows. I love the X-Files. I love the concepts of just different stuff. Anything that's something we've never explored before, and a show that I thought was going to do that was a show called Earth 2. This idea of needing to go find another Earth to live on because there is this secret virus that was killing children, and only children. So this billionaire set up this expedition to colonize a new planet, And it's all about these people kind of coming in contact with this planet's people, in a way, and trying to communicate with them, and then also trying to not be sabotaged by the people left on Earth who were trying to sabotage their mission because they didn't want them to do this. And, it definitely was kind of hokey. Like, I remember watching it being like, oh, this wasn't quite as good as I was hoping it was going to be, but I still wanted it to keep going because I was interested in this concept. But I think it was maybe just a little too far out there and hokey for some people. Because even some of it, like the creatures, if I remember correctly, were kind of like the Sid and Marty Krofft, you know, creatures and stuff. Yeah. It kind of felt like that in a way. And I'm like, oh, okay, I can see why people wouldn't like that. But I did. I loved it. I love Land of the Lost, you know? So I was into it. Maybe it wasn't that great. I do feel like that's the kind of show that could easily be rebooted for Netflix or something. Because it wasn't like it had anybody of that much of a note that starred in it, in my opinion. Like, you had some named actors in it, but it wasn't anybody, you know, oh my god, you have to bring that person back because they embodied that role, you know.
And it mentions so, pandemic, which is going to be so hot in 2021.
Exactly.
Oh my god.
Exactly. Anyways,
I thought that was
a good one to bring up.
So I've got another show. Just it's interesting the fact that this show, it was a 2002 show on MTV, and it's somehow making a resurgence with the young people today.
What show is that?
It's called Clone High. For some reason, there are kids. So I got friends who have high school kids.
I'm like anti-hip, I think, at this point.
Seriously, it's so weird. But have you guys heard of Clone High?
I've heard the name sounds
familiar. Is it like Club Penguin?
No, so it's a cartoon.
Is it like Club Penguin?
It's a cartoon about the government decides to clone all of its historic figures.
Historical figures, yeah. You have Gandhi, Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln, you've got JFK, Joan of Arc, Cleopatra, yeah. And they all go to high school, and they're pretty much dealing with high school type of drama type of stuff, but it's all just a big goof. I mean, it's drawn very crudely. It's made by Phil Lord and Christopher Miller and Bill Lawrence.
Lord and Miller, okay.
Yeah.
Right. So this was, it's such a weird thing that, like, all of a sudden this is like turning into a big show again, but it's only got one season, and there's just a ton of memes right now.
Well, yeah.
You know why?
I
mean,
I had to look it up. I've seen the memes and I didn't know what it was based on. Okay.
Isn't that weird that, like, all of a sudden this stuff is starting to pop up now?
You know, it's not weird. It's because it's Lord and Miller. Lord and Miller made Spider-Verse, and people, kids that age, love that movie. So they're probably going along, like, okay, what else have these guys done? Oh, here's this rare show that we can all geek out over and put memes on the internet. So.
Well,
yeah.
There's like one thing that I remember about the whole show, and it was like they cloned Mr. Peanut, and Mr. Peanut for some reason goes to the high school, and he goes up to one of the characters and he goes, "I would shake your hand, but peanut arms, you know?" And it's, I don't know why, but that's like stuck in my head.
Well, the way you say it, yeah, it's kind of funny. Yeah. Peanut arms, so, you know. Okay.
Anyways, check out Clone High. I think I might go try and revisit Clone High just because why not? It just sounds like such a goof.
I have to look that up.
Okay. Look that up. I did want to bring up another Brian Fuller show. This is kind of a unique situation where he, once again, being kind of experimental, they allowed him to do this like Halloween special. And I think it was Fox, and they were like, hey, you know, if this does well, we might pick it up as a series. And it was called some like 1303 Mockingbird Lane, and it was supposed to be about the Munsters. It was supposed to be like a
Munsters reboot. I remember that.
And yeah, I was like really pumped for this. I'm like, oh my god, Brian Fuller is gonna do a take on the Munsters. This is gonna be great. And it bombed. It did not do well. It was kind of just okay. I think it was Eddie Izzard was the dad or the grandfather or somebody.
Oh my god, Eddie Izzard!
And I was like, cool, like this is gonna be great. And it never picked up. And I think it was very dark. I mean, if you watch Brian Fuller's humor, like he deals with death like in everything he does.
is very heavy on the death. And in the first, I think it was the first, that episode, that special, they like kill their neighbor as a sacrifice to help like save the dad or the grandpa or something. Like, all right, well, I can see why this didn't get picked up, unfortunately.
So. Oh, well, I'm looking at photos right now and it's,
it was goofy. It was awesome. Definitely goofy and out there. So,
well, you know, yeah. I never saw it. I've only like heard about it, but it looks like a poor version of What We Do in the Shadows.
It was. It had that same feel, that kind of weird, quirky, offbeat Dylan humor. I don't know. It wasn't Dylan humor, but you know, it's kind of offbeat in that way. And ahead of its time, I guess.
It might have been ahead of its time.
So that was in 2002. It got an 60% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's not too bad.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily great. It wasn't like something I'm like, oh my god, I have to keep watching this show. But I was like, that's a good concept, though. It kind of was fun. I like the darker tone of it. But oh well.
I have two kind of shows that go hand in hand. So Sam Neill, I love Sam Neill. He's Dr. Grant. I'll always love him because he's Dr. Grant. And so he was in Happy Town back in 2007 or something. And Happy Town spent all this time setting up this peculiar mystery where kids go missing. They leave like these little tokens behind and you're like, okay, what's it going to be? You know, they're like really like every single thing they're undoing all the threads. And then they're like, oh, it's canceled. And so then you forget about all the threads. But at the time I was so intrigued of what was actually going on in this town because it was just every single thing they said, especially that Sam Neill said, was super cryptic. Like he knew exactly what was going on. And he's given bits and pieces to other people in the town and to the audience. And so you're just like, because it came like right when Lost was doing its really super peculiar stuff. And it had that like air of mystery going on focused in this small little town. And then poof, I have no idea whatever happened in Happy Town.
Well, there's bad. Yeah, there's lots of articles out on Google right now that pretty much people is like, we need answers. Happen. We need answers on Happy Town.
It's funny because so Sam Neill was in Happy Town in 2007, and then in 2009 he's in Alcatraz, and so show was also canceled after one season. So Sam Neill is obviously a jinx. Do not cast Sam Neill if you're making a TV show. But Alcatraz, it was really interesting because the idea was that all the inmates in Alcatraz in 1963 went through some like time portal, and so they've been floating in interdimensional space, and then one by one, they come back. So it becomes like almost like a crime each week. Like, oh, we go talk about this guy killed 10 people and then we have to go find him. He's like in downtown San Francisco in present day. And they just kept doing that each week. And that was awesome. That's all I needed from a show.
It was fun. That's and it had awesome. Hurley, so it was great.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. What, maybe too high of a concept again.
It was definitely high concept. The idea of any interdimensional travel. Like Rick and Morty's really made like multiverse and interdimensional stuff more accessible to people. People are more intrigued by that idea. But back in 2009, that's a non-starter.
No, don't give me any of that. That's too heavy. Can't deal with that many dimensions, man. I'm gonna deal with my own. I don't know. That's pretty funny. I'm trying to think of any other shows that were one season because I feel like there's so many that weren't good. There was like a lot that like,
well, and that's,
I was intrigued by every show on my list. I mean, there's a ton of shows that whatever.
Well, I mean, because I mean, there's going to be some that we gravitate towards personally that maybe not a wide audience would like. So, I mean, I think that was kind of like the boat I fell in a lot.
Right, they're I like quirky, them, but
quirky.
And I do think that they would do better on Netflix. I think Netflix found a way finally to balance that out. It wasn't just the super popular shows. We can actually throw in some quirky stuff in there and they won't always cancel it after
because Netflix kind of throws everything against the wall to see what sticks. Like, you know, Disney is spending like $15 million an episode to make Mandalorian and $25 million to make Falcon and Winter Soldier. So those shows need to hit. And Netflix is like, sure, you want to do some stupid off-the-wall idea? We might cancel it. It might be terrible, like the OA. That's one of the worst things ever created in time. But some people love that thing. And so it found its own audience and actually made two seasons out of it.
Oh, I tried.
I tried so much. God damn. I went back a second time to watch the beginning. It was so bad.
Hey, whatever sticks, man. Injustices, that's for sure.
Well, I even, like, whenever I was looking for, I wanted to find, like, a 90s Nick show. Because I feel like a lot of those shows only had one season, but...
You'd be surprised. Man, a lot of them aren't. You may think they did.
Right, they felt like there was one season, but there was, yeah.
How was there three seasons of that? Garbage. What the heck?
Oh, for
how
sure.
Is that possible? But hey, it happens.
But yeah, man. I guess kids are just that dumb that they'll watch a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. Anything else, or are we good to wrap episode 79?
I think we're good to wrap it.
I think we're
good. That was a good point. To end.
Awesome.
I just missed those shows.
I know. I want to know what happens. Just at least send out like a book version or like some cliff notes of what actually happened. Something. So I at least know.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be thankful to Joss Whedon for at least making a movie. It's like, hey, at least he wrapped everything up. Like, here's the mystery. This is what it was about. Like, do that, people. Wrap it up.
And it's funny because we've been complaining so much about shows that are going on too long. It's a delicate balance. Like, oh, you can tell this show was designed for one season. They didn't know what to do, and they're just going with just random stupid storylines.
Yeah, yeah,
can't please anybody, man.
Especially us. That's for sure. Listen to our podcast every week. You'll figure it out.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Be sure to follow at Secondary Heroes on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Anchor, every place imaginable.
Every place imaginable.
And be sure to leave a review on iTunes. It's free for you, it's process to us, and to everyone on the scene, we hope you enjoyed, and we'll talk to you next time.
Hey, talk out.
See ya.
Science reveals what really happens when a man grows a beard. That is your clickbait of the week.